Well, working here at Great Falls Tavern, you hear all sorts of stories. Some of them happy, some of them sad, some scary, some funny. Something for pretty much every fancy. Sometimes people ask me if I ever heard anything or seen anything strange, and for quite a while I would have told you, no, never really encountered anything here. No ghoulies or ghosties or things that go bump in the night. We do hear some stories, though. And there is one thing that happened to me once. Before working here at the tavern, I was a boatman, and I worked for old Captain Grogan. And this happened to me a few years ago. Towards the end of the boat season, it was a dark fall day. We just see the sun setting in the west, and we were coming up on the Pawpaw Tunnel. You've never seen the Pawpaw Tunnel. That's something you might want to go and see. 3,118 feet cut through solid rock. Took those Irish boys 12 years to dig that thing. And we were coming up on it late in the day, late in the season, November day. And I thought maybe, just maybe, we could get up to the tunnel and make it through that night. So I ran on ahead to see if there's any other boats coming through the tunnel going the other direction. I didn't see any other boats, but I did see something on up ahead, on the towpath. Something white. First I thought it was maybe some kind of a piece of laundry or something had fallen off some boat and landed in a bush and was blowing in the breeze or something, but it was moving too steadily for that. And I went on up ahead. Darned if it wasn't a little girl. Just a little girl out there all by herself on the towpath, just walking along. Something strange about that. So, didn't see any other boats around, no other people. There she was. Looked like she was barefoot in a little white smock. Long gold ringlets hung down. And I can still remember the shudder that went up and down my spine when I saw that little girl step into that dark, cold tunnel. My conscience wouldn't let her just go in there by herself. Who knows what could happen to her? So I ran on ahead and I said, little girl, don't go in there. That ain't safe. We'll find your ma and pa. You'll be all right. But she kept on walking. And there was nothing I could do but just go in on that tunnel after her. I took my lantern and went in there, and as soon as I went in that tunnel, surrounded by this sea of darkness, I kept on going, and I ran plumb to the other side of that tunnel. But let me tell you, I did not see hide nor hair of that little girl. All you could hear was just the drip, 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 the water off the ceiling. Didn't see anything, didn't hear anything. If I'd have passed her, I'd have noticed it. If she'd fallen in, I would have heard it. But nothing. So I went back through that tunnel, and I'm not ashamed to say that I went through twice as fast going back as I did coming. And I called out, Captain Grogan, I think that's it for the night. I don't think we should go through. Let's stay right here. It's very dark in there. Let's just stay right here. And that's what we did. Didn't tell him a thing about what I saw. Didn't tell anyone for several years, until one night during the winter I was up in a public house up in Cumberland late one winter's night, and heard some old fellas talking, and they were talking about that tunnel, and they were talking about it in a way that made me think there was something not quite right about that place. And I got one of those old boys aside later on, and I told him my story, and I expected he'd laugh at me, but he didn't. Nodded and said, yep, that'll be Elizabeth Littlefield. Elizabeth Littlefield, who's she? Who was she? She was a little girl in one of these boatman's families, and, well, she was playing on top of that boat. When they went in that tunnel, when they come out the other side, she wasn't there. I don't reckon they've ever forgiven themselves for that. I don't think they work on the canal anymore. Well, there are some folks that say she's still in there. Just walking back and forth, back and forth. That long, dark, cold tunnel. Looking for her Ma and Pa. Well, maybe she is still there. You can go and see that tunnel. It's still there. Recommend you bring some good shoes, bring your light. But wouldn't recommend you go there after dark, or as night's falling on a cold November day.
We shall miss him. There will be one vacant chair. We shall linger to caress him while we sing our evening prayer.
Hello, my name is Spong, Samuel Spong. I'm done boating here on this canal, 'cause after all that's happened to me, my heart just isn't in it anymore. I remember watching my little boy Willie carving his name into a lock round here. He got the N backwards, but he was still so happy and so proud. Now he's gone. They're all gone. It was back on September 11th, 1916, when me and my family had reached Georgetown with a boatload of coal. We entered the Potomac River down at Rock Creek. A tugboat towed us to a powerhouse on the river that was called the Capital Traction Company. We tied up right along the seawall to unload our coal. We knew we were at the right place because we tied up with our cabin next to a steam pipe. The pipe had an elbow in it, pointing down. Me and my oldest boy, Tom, were getting ready to unload the boat that morning. Right around 6 o'clock. My wife, Nina, though we called her Nine for short, was also awake. She was up fixing breakfast. The three young ones, Johnny, Willie, and Sarah, were all sleeping. They were just too small to help us, and I figured that they might as well enjoy their beds. I just wanted to unload and get on the way back up to Cumberland. Right then, about 6 o'clock, I heard a hiss. The traction company was purging the steam. I looked down at the pipe. I saw that the steam had come out with such force that the elbow in the pipe was blown off. The steam hissed directly into the cabin of my boat, right where my three children were sleeping. They were trapped in a flood of hissing steam and boiling water. I hoped against hope that they never felt it, but I knew better. Nina opened the cabin and tried to save them, but she was burned and scalded as well. I managed to pull two children out of the cabin, but the youngest, we didn't get him. He came to the window screaming for help. We only got to Willie after the steam had gone. He lingered for a while, and I watched him die. All three children, well, they're all buried up in Sharpsburg now. Now you know why I want nothing to do with life on this here canal. For every time I close my eyes, I see the steam and I hear their screams. And each time, I know that they are gone.
These stories were produced by the C&O Canal Trust. They were adapted from the C&O Canal National Historical Park's presentation titled Life and Death on the C&O Canal. The song Sunday River Waltz was performed by the Barn Owl Band.